Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. It's week two, witness two, for the joint House-Senate hearings into the Iran-Contra affair. At this hour, as Eric Engberg reports, the committees are to hear from a former frequent visitor to the Oval Office, one who continued to be a player after leaving government.
The testimony of Robert McFarlane, who was National Security Advisor when the Iran initiative and the secret Contra supply effort were begun, is expected to take most of the week. Oliver North was McFarlane's subordinate, protege, and fellow Marine. McFarlane has not previously provided a description of how the administration turned to a private citizen, Richard Secord, to supply the Nicaraguan Contras, and how they went about raising the money to fund the operation. Two fundraisers who worked with North on the program have already pleaded guilty to federal tax violations. Sources close to McFarlane say he intends to tell the congressional committees that President Reagan ordered him to find ways to support the Contras in 1984 after Congress cut off U.S. funding. After that, according to the sources, it was left to the NSC to find ways to provide the support. The president was not specific. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Washington.
The New York Times reports today that Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh is reviewing earlier congressional testimony by Assistant Secretary of State Elliot Abrams and others to determine if they have made false statements about assisting the Contra rebels. Some painful 45-year-old memories are about to be dredged up in a French courtroom. Doug Tunnell reports from Lyon.
The man known as the Butcher of Lyon looked out on a jammed courtroom in Lyon's Palace of Justice through a thick pane of protective glass. 44 years after Klaus Barbie ruled this city as Gestapo chief during the Nazi occupation, his trial for what the court calls crimes against humanity has begun. Barbie is charged with incidents of torture, execution, and deportation to Nazi death camps. He is said to be responsible for the deaths of over 10,000 persons, most of them Jews. His ruthlessness, his brutality as an interrogator is legend in France. In the coming days, Klaus Barbie will hear some of his victims recount for the court their days in his interrogation rooms. It is an emotion-packed event. Jewish groups this morning inaugurated a massive memorial to victims of the Holocaust in front of Lyon's City Hall. Last night, a mostly Jewish audience at another memorial ceremony applauded Serge Klarsfeld, who along with his wife Beata was instrumental in tracking Barbie to Bolivia and winning his extradition to France for today's trial. After a march by young neo-Nazis in Lyon who expressed support for Klaus Barbie, Lyon's police chief has expressed concern for security during the trial. Barbie has already been tried in absentia and condemned to death in France for war crimes, but the statute of limitations has run out. Since France has abolished the death penalty, the man known as the Butcher of Lyon faces a maximum sentence of life in prison. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Lyon.
In the Philippines today, there was a different kind of election, a free one. Even though four people were reported killed in attacks on polling places, including a woman who opened a booby-trapped ballot box, the voting was generally relaxed. Richard Wagner has our Manila story.
It's likely some 20 million Filipinos cast ballots today in the first nationwide election of Cory Aquino's presidency. It's also likely this was the first honest congressional election in this country in almost 20 years. When Ferdinand Marcos was president, elections were rigged to assure the continuation of his autocratic rule. Today's voting will provide President Aquino with a U.S.-style two-house Congress. The voters chose all 24 of this nation's senators and 200 members of the House of Representatives. But because of a system of handwritten ballots, it could be weeks before all the ballots are counted and the winners are known. The race is critical for the Philippines for several reasons. The legislators elected today will have to work with President Aquino in reviving a stagnant economy, fighting a communist insurgency, satisfying Muslim separatists, and deciding the fate of vital U.S. military bases here. In addition, since Mrs. Aquino is barred by law from succeeding herself as president, one of the senators elected today is likely to be the leading candidate for the presidency of the Philippines in 1992. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Manila.
British voters are bracing for another assault by politicians, this one coming a year sooner than they thought, with an election now set for June 11th. Tom Fenton reports.
Prime Minister Thatcher spent the weekend at her official country residence meeting advisors and deciding on the date. Her return to Downing Street last night was followed by a cabinet meeting this morning to confirm her decision. And then the final step, a pure formality, the trip to Buckingham Palace to call on the Queen to ask her to dissolve Parliament. Mrs. Thatcher has a huge majority in Parliament. Her five-year term of office still has more than a year to run. The British economy looks good, so why is she calling an election now? The answer is that British prime ministers have the right to call early elections and usually use it when things are going well for the party. By calling an election now, Britain's Iron Lady stands a good chance of doing what no other British political leader has ever done before, winning three elections in a row. Tom Fenton, CBS News, London.
As Polish investigators continue trying to pinpoint the cause of Saturday's LOT airliner crash outside Warsaw, other officials are nearing a grim decision. Because the mutilated condition of most of the 183 victims makes positive identification very difficult, Polish authorities are considering burying them in a mass grave. 19 American citizens and 19 U.S. residents were among the passengers, and as Harold Dow reports, they are being mourned in Polish-American communities here.
Polish immigrants and descendants went to church searching for hope. Many were still trying to comprehend how a tragedy which occurred so far away could yet be felt so close to home. Reverend William Baldiga.
Polish community of New Britain mourns the death of the friends and the relatives of those who belong to our parish and who have known these people during their life in this world.
Reverend Paul Wysocki.
It was just a tremendous shock. One family's lost three members. I called their home. I thought perhaps somebody would be there, but no one answered the phone because the mother, father, and son had all perished in that accident.
In Linden, New Jersey, death took the lives of a father and his daughter. In Queens, New York, Polish-American Jerry Locht is counting his blessings. He had a ticket on flight number 5055. But the plane left without him.
I was late a couple of minutes, and they just crossed off my reservation.
Harold Dow, CBS News, New York.
The dollar is down slightly in overseas trading. Gold is steady in London. And on Wall Street to this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up nearly 29 points at 2351.18. Big board volume, 22 million shares. It's 10 minutes past 7.